This episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audio entertainment, providing digital versions of over 85,000 audiobooks for download right to your computer, Android, iPhone, BlackBerry, or iPod. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
That's a nice score for a girl.
Think you can do better?
I'll give it a shot.
Spandex. It's a privilege, not a right. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Additional support comes from Michael Brannon saying, get well soon, Joy, and Neil Morgan. This episode is for you guys. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film and entertainment for all mankind. It is episode 83. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian Robot Metal Ring Finger Dunaway.
All right. Excellent intro. Thank you. How many nerds can you fit on a roof? I don't know, but apparently nerds love to swim. All you have to do is tell them about the Olympic-sized pool on the roof, and they'll head straight there and skip class, even on the first day. Also, there is no pool.
That was so dumb.
It was bad.
Dumb. Also with us, Randy Serial Killer Jordan. You know, like the Cocoa Puffs.
Like Cocoa Puffs.
Right. Aloha, Brian Scott. Man, the movie we watched this week reminded me of the old days of podcasting. And I mean the old days, back when we used to record on cassette and then copy the show onto blanks using a dual cassette boombox, then mail them out to all the listeners. Whew, things are better than they used to be. Mm. By the way, we used to have to swim with all our clothes on.
I forgot about that, too.
Yep.
Nice. I forgot a lot about this film. Finally.
I chose to forget a lot about this film.
Brian, I hope you don't screw like you type Ibbit.
I do it with two fingers.
No.
That's it. You just did your greeting. You just did whatever you wrote for your greeting, you just nailed it. So
match that. Episode 84 is different. We'll see you guys next week. All right. Go ahead.
This does seem kind of anticlimactic now. I'm sentencing you to 8 years with no computer, no touch-tone telephone, no lights, no motor cars, no returns or exchanges, no day like today, and no pets.
That's harsh.
Nice.
I love that.
Nice.
I love that elevation of touch-tone telephone to big technology.
Oh, that's man. Right. That was the hot thing back then. Yeah, that was like, what's his name? Who was the hacker that got put to jail for a while, and then now he works for like... Mm-hmm. Big
Andrew something.
Oh crap! Yeah.
I don't want to get it wrong. Because
Andrew P. Hacker me. Hacker Jones. Anyway, the movie's Hackers. Hadn't seen it. Seen it now.
Really?
Got stuff to say about it. Perhaps I think Scott Fletcher ought to start us off. But man, I don't know about you guys. I feel like this is going to be a very special episode of FilmSack.
Oh, it's special, all right.
Whether we like it or not. Here's Scott Fletcher with an intro to the film 1995's Hackers.
Hackers. After being banned from touching PCs for years, former child prodigy Dade Murphy, played by Johnny Lee Miller, rejoins the computer crime underworld, enlisting fellow hackers Killer, played by Matthew Lillard, Nikon, played by Lawrence Mason, and Kate, played by Angelina Jolie in an early role, for some e-mischief. And it's hyphenated because it's clever. Dade eventually stumbles on a sinister cyber plot orchestrated by a corporate computer expert played by Fisher Stevens. High-tech suspense ensues in this dated campy thriller.
Dated is a good word. I like the dated. I don't think it said dated in the description, though.
I know.
Maybe.
It's hard to describe this movie as dated and not dated. In some ways... it's kind of timeless. In other ways, it's like, okay, you got to stop talking about the tech.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Ways in which this movie is timeless.
All right, I'll give you one. I'll give you one.
Yes, color.
Here's how it's timeless. Listen to this.
It's shot on film.
Right here.
I actually thought the music was all right.
The music is insanely good. It is representative of my love of 90s electronica in a way that I can barely express. I love the soundtrack. Love it. It is the only redeeming factor thing in the film, as far as I'm concerned, because everything else is weirdly dated and crazy and dumb and stupid. But this bit, the music bit, is great. Now, there are people out there who've been arguing with me on Twitter for a couple of days now, because I made the comment that the movie kind of sucks, but the soundtrack's great.
Yes.
And they've all, you know, weighed in saying, well, maybe it was my childhood, but I really, really like this film. And there was a lot of sort of hurt feelings over my distaste for this.
Did you ask him, was it before you ever used a computer?
Right. Or since, or what?
Well, like, I can't say that I didn't like it. I mean, just like saying I don't like War Games because of the tech in it. I mean, I still like it.
Yeah, but at least War Games had tech you could get your head around that actually had some plausibility to it. Like, Sneakers is the best hacking movie of all time. I think we probably all agree. Plus, Dan Aykroyd played Mother in it. but that, I love that movie. And I love that movie for a lot of the things they tried to do with this one. And they punk it up and youth it up and all that for the early 90s. But, you know, Eli Stone and the rest of his crew there just didn't hold a candle to Robert Redford and the guys he had on Sneakers. And part of that for me is they took the technology seriously in Sneakers and said, all right, we're going to do something plausible. It doesn't have to be hyper-realistic, but we got to take what's available at the time we're doing it, and let's take it to the whatever degree they want to take it. This movie was just like, throw that out the door. Everybody's office is a big, giant room full of code flying up and holograms and bull crap.
Glass cubes.
With a keyboard that doesn't have keys on it. It just has like plexiglass holes to poke.
Right.
I know, but come on. This is like, I don't.
That was cool. That's exactly what I would do if I had that type
I would
of keyboard.
Buy that keyboard. Yeah.
I totally have to have that keyboard.
Where's the F on this keyboard? Where's the Z? Where's the control key? What? Yes, Brian.
Know. I'm going to say that I like this movie for the same reasons I like a lot of 80s movies, is because they captured what the 80s were all about. And I think this movie was really good at capturing the 90s.
A little bit. Yeah. I'll give you that. There's a vibe to it. I also like, you know, there's this arcade scene early. Where they walk in there and Angelina Jolie is playing what is clearly a tech version, like CGI version of Wipeout, like the old PlayStation 1 Wipeout game. And in the credits, they credit Psygnosis, the creator of that game, with this early code that was then run on like one of those, what are those things called back in the day? CGI something. I forget. There's a name. Anyway, it was a big deal back in the day. And you could render all these real-time graphics. And And, you know, it changed a lot, of course, to the retail game. But I was in love with Wipeout. I love the soundtrack to Wipeout. Like, there's a whole period there in the 90s where I just lapped all that stuff up, and I couldn't get enough of the Crystal Method, and I couldn't get enough of Left Field was a great band that had some really great techno.
In fact, they
featured some of that in this film. And that Johnny Rotten song, Ibbit, that they play all the time during the thing. Yep. What's it called? Open Up, this one right here. Not the screen. Yeah, I mean, that stuff, when that would all come in and happen, I could for a second go, all right, I'll forget that you're all being like dummies and that this is kind of cool. There's an edge to this that I can get my head around, and that I appreciated.
I'll tell you, I saw this movie a long time ago, and I had a crazy mad crush on Angelina Jolie back in the day. I could care less about her now, but back in the day when she was in Hackers, I'm telling you, she was a fresh face, and I had never seen her before, and she was just awesome.
Hmm. Yeah, well, a fresh face, if you mean it looks like she kissed a burner on her stove. And then
that's right. Well, she dressed like a Vulcan.
Her lips are crazy big.
Okay, how far are we into the show? Anyone have a time check?
All right, no, hold on.
10 seconds.
No, hold on a second. I want to say this. I think she is stunning in this movie. But her lips, there's something wrong with them. That's all
she's
I'm getting
always at. Had big
is
lips.
She supposed to be a high school student?
Yes.
There's a lot of things I wasn't able to pick up on.
So was Johnny Lee Miller, but I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah, so he's like 23 years old and he's supposed to be 18 or something.
Yeah,
this is kind of like 21 Jump Street.
This is it's hard to place him, because if this movie had been made in the last 10 years, that would have been Paul Walker.
Yeah.
And if this movie had been made 10 years before, it was like Rick Schroeder. So I don't know. But this guy is just out of.
I like that.
He's so out of his depth that I can't I have no memories of him whatsoever.
Well, he's television's Eli Stone. He was married to Angelina Jolie. They got engaged that year, and they were married for 18 months. All he needed to see was her Letterman jacket and her booby flash, and they were in. So that didn't last very long. They got divorced. She ran off with
Billy Bob,
right? Put blood.
Right. What was that all about? Was she not having some serious issues?
I don't know, dude.
I think that's what I said. I think that was the first time I said, remember that girl from Hackers? She's crazy. She's dating Billy Bob Thornton.
But she's beautiful
now. He's the anti Johnny Lee Miller.
See, I have the opposite thing. I think that she's grown into her lips, like the rest of her matured. Mm-hmm. And I think she's beautiful. I really do. She's all the things we have as like our Hollywood elite, you know, glamorous and traveling all over the world and constantly everybody has to know what the hell they're talking about. But all of that, and I hate all that stuff, but all that aside, she's a striking human being.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know what, there's something to be said about her hair, because her hair in this, so short that it draws attention to her facial features.
Yeah.
And she not only has big lips, but she has big eyes. She's almost like a Anne Hathaway kind of thing, where you've got very large features on a smaller face or a small head. Mm-hmm. And if you've got long hair, it kind of frames it and kind of pulls a little bit of the attention away from the facial features.
Go ahead, Randy.
Am I the only person that the first time you saw her and then subsequent times you saw her in this movie, am I the only one who thought of the girl in Ferris Bueller who spits all over the principal in the arcade?
Yeah, kind of.
That wasn't the main chick. You're talking about the...
Right, the chick who's dressed exactly the same as Ferris Bueller in the arcade.
That's right.
At least from the back.
All I know is here's my guess. She showed up to casting for Hackers. She was unknown at the time. She showed up at casting, and the very first thing out of the director's mouth was, "Oh my gosh, call the burn unit. There's something wrong with this girl's face." Because her lips are like, they're huge. They look burned.
I never really noticed. I was a lot more, I was noticing her eyes because she looked like she was on a heroin bender the entire movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't help to have like dark black or red at one point, mm-hmm. eyeliner and eyeshadow.
Yeah, the red eyeshadow can work if you're starring in Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
We're getting totally in the wrong direction. My God!
You think we focused a little on her? Maybe. All right, so you got
she's the best thing in the movie.
Where's Joan Rivers at?
Joan Rivers, what are you talking about?
We're all gossiping about what she's wearing.
This should be like the red carpet segment on
I thought she looked like T'Pol.
What are you wearing?
Yeah.
What is it you're wearing?
I thought she seriously looked like T'Pol from Enterprise.
My husband totally killed himself.
See that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Johnny Lee Miller, Angelina Jolie. Oh, speaking of Star Trek, just real quick. Mm-hmm. I watched the death of Lieutenant Yar, Dill. Mm-hmm. Oh. We totally need to watch that one on the show.
You think so?
Oh, it's so good and bad.
I got to watch it. I remember seeing it back then. It was a huge deal.
It's got
deal.
The whole I'll miss you most of all scarecrow thing at the end.
I have just gotten to Ronald D. Moore's influence.
Yeah.
And I finally gotten to that stretch. And all at once, the show gets really good and really horrible at the same time.
Mm.
Early on, he didn't really know what he was doing. He just had some good ideas.
Yeah.
And
what season, three?
Where are we? We're in the middle of season three.
Yeah, that's about right for when he came out. I think that was before the beard and the attitude. Let's see, Jesse Bradford. I don't know any of these people. Matthew Lillard, we know him. He was Shaggy.
Yeah.
Everybody wants.
Don't skip the Scream.
Yeah, Scream.
All Scream.
Oh, I forgot about Scream.
And holy cow, his turn in A Knight's Tale is just tremendous.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen that.
SLC Punk,
yeah. Utah Connection.
Wing Commander. Remember those?
Yeah, so.
I actually was talking about 13 Ghosts. Did you ever see that?
No. Mm-hmm. He was in that?
Yeah.
No, that came up in a trivia competition. He's
the trope guy. In fact, here, let's just play one for him. He's the guy that's in all the movies. He's your little sidekick who's goofy. He's Encino Man with Charlie or with Pauly Shore.
Though.
He's in Without a Paddle. I think he's a true threat.
What?
Matthew Lillard is an awesome, awesome comedic actor. In Scooby-Doo, he did something that seems almost impossible. Pulled it off great.
Yeah.
But this guy in this movie made me want to turn the movie off.
Oh, I didn't mind him. There was something weirdly late 80s, early 90s about it that I thought was okay. But you're right.
I'm with Randy on that one.
Yeah, those braids sewn into his hair. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was definitely, they were pushing that pretty hard. Lord Nikon, by the way, Paul played the character Paul Cook / Lord Nikon, who's Lord of second tier SLR cameras.
I swear I thought he was Mos Def.
Lord, I know I did for a second, but Lawrence Mason, he was in, I couldn't place him. It was driving me nuts watching the movie. And then it hit me. He's a drug dealer who's got a deal with, what's his name? The character, I think his name. Anyway, on The Shield. If anybody's seen The Shield, he's great on The Shield. I think he dies like halfway through the series. Spoiler alert, but.
He's done some good stuff.
He's really good,
He was in The Crow, Hackers, Lincoln Lawyer, Artificial AI. Yeah. Hated that show. All hated of that movie.
All of that and then some.
Hated it.
Oh, you hated it? Really? You hated it?
Hated AI. Hated it.
You, AI? Did he was in AI?
Yeah, hated it.
I do not hate AI. What? What's wrong with you?
Hated it.
He was in AI?
He wasn't in it. He was a tech director.
Conversation is everywhere.
Hated it.
Hated it. All right.
You hate the conversation?
I just, for some reason, my browser just completely crashed. There we go. All righty. Thanks, Google Chrome. What the hell you're smoking tonight? All right. Who else? Renly Santiago. Don't care about him. Fisher Stevens. Let's talk about that guy.
There we go.
Fisher Stevens. Oh, yeah.
Number five is alive. That's the guy, the Indian guy.
He's the man.
But he's not Indian.
I'm currently standing beside myself.
I forgot he was in Lost. Like, as soon as he started talking normal, I went, oh, guy from Lost and guy from. Mm-hmm. 100 other things you don't, I can't think of, but.
Right. Secondary characters and in
numbers, primary character there.
So as a goateed bad guy, what do you think, Randy? Did he pull this off? Was he a good villain?
Oh, he was really good. Like, he had a horrible part and script to work with, and he did a really good job. And by the way, when you're talking about what Fisher Stevens has accomplished, don't forget The Cove. That's the, he went out all on his own to make a film about the killing of dolphins in Japan.
That's the other thing I saw that had him featured heavily in it.
Yeah, that's his film.
He directed it?
Yes, he made the film.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I know that the main dude who used to be a trainer turned activist, he was kind of more like the star of the thing, but I had no idea he was he was that involved in it. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It was directed by that Louis Sahoyo guy, and it's Fisher Stevens' movie.
Wow.
The Cove. And if you haven't seen The Cove and you like documentaries, see The Cove. It's such a good one.
And if you like bloody horrible things, see The Cove. Oh, man. It's a depressing.
Sorry. Film. Yeah, it is very depressing.
It's really good, though.
Almost every good documentary I've ever seen is about some horrific human failing. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, you can't get around it. Who else? Alberta Watson? Blah. Oh, Lorraine Bracco. Remember her?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, from Sopranos.
Goodfellas, Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anytime you needed a mob lady, she'd step up and do the deed. She was pretty good. And Mark Anthony in the news.
Right. The current former ex-husband of J-Lo or soon-to-be ex-husband.
We see it coming.
That is awesome.
It happened during that sentence. So I was about to say the current husband of J-Lo, and then I changed it to the former. Actually happened during that sentence.
But they're so done, funny. Right? They're broken up.
Yeah.
I don't know why I care. I don't care.
Did we mention Renly Santiago?
No. Who's that?
He's the freaky, you can't tell if my kids asked me if he was a girl. The one that's kind of feminine. Yeah, freak. Yeah.
Oh, freak.
Yeah. And him in Con Air?
Yeah, he was in Con Air.
Oh, he's the guy who does the dance who's not the other small Latino actor.
Hasn't done a lot other than that, though.
There's another famous Latino actor that I always get the two of them confused, and it's, dang it.
Dingo Del
John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
Oh, really?
You.
Wow. Okay.
I read Ibbot's mind.
You do very well.
Team Gibbet reading each other's mind.
I can't wait to stop naming people and start naming tropes. This movie has tropes.
Let's do some tropes. Actually, before tropes, let me tell you who directed it. Leon Softly. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw that out there because it's a terrible, terrible name.
Horrible name.
Seems like a nice guy, whatever. Born in London, England. He is also the director of K-Pax, a movie I think is awesome.
Really? I have never seen K-Pax, as I've heard so many bad things about it.
No, it's all right. Love K-Pax.
Yeah, I'm with Ibbot here. It's all right. It's not bad, but you don't go out of your way to watch a movie
but
like
it's
that.
Kevin Spacey and Jeff. It's Kevin Spacey and Jeff Bridges, man. Those guys are great in there.
Those two actors are great. but that movie, if you wouldn't have mentioned it, I wouldn't have thought of that movie.
Ever again, the rest of your life.
Right, unless somebody brought it up. Exactly.
He recently did 2008's Inkheart, which I heard was good, never saw. Skeleton Key in 05, a little horror movie there. I remember that. I saw that.
So once again, it's a film sack film with a guy who, this is like the biggest thing he ever did.
Yeah.
You are absolutely, well, yes. I mean, if you don't, he's doing a lot of TV stuff now, like big on the TV. You're talking about the main dude, right?
The director.
I thought you meant,
you wouldn't say K-Pax is a bigger movie than this?
I don't know.
I think K-Pax is definitely a better movie than this. Well, K-Pax is a more prestige film than this. Like this, yeah, this is something definitely more, you know, whether or not it pulled it off and was a good movie or not is not really the issue. But the problem with Hackers, the only problem I have with Hackers is the disrespect for tech. The idea that you can just pull the wool over the viewing public's eyes because we're all just a bunch of dummies that think computers are magic. And I hate that. Now, obviously, I come from a biased position on that, but I still hate it. Like, I still want a little bit of something. I don't like any movies that do it. But when a movie's entire basis, like The Net, for example, when the entire basis of the film is the technology and how people interact in it, like this is, it just makes me mad. It's like, come on, just give me one. You know, the closest they got to reality was them slobbering over a Pentium 100 Active Matrix notebook or whatever the hell it was.
With 28 8-bit baud. Anyway, the thing is, that has actually gotten better. I think we can all agree that
there's a P6 chip, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
A movie's inability to truly understand technology has gotten better over the last 20 years.
Yeah, because movies like this that prove to us, you know what? Technology does change that fast. You look stupid if you 6 months later and everything's changed.
In fact, I would say even 7 years after this movie with Swordfish, you have basically the same kind of thing, and they still make horrible mistakes and they look awful later, but they're not as gross. They're not as so wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. And it's part, isn't that part of it? Because society has gotten more up to speed. Like, we're not so dumb anymore.
Well, I think we know better. Like I said, Randy was saying, I mean, the directors know better. It's like, you know, if we drop all this lingo and we try to get somebody who's a tech expert in here right now and get all excited, it's going to sound stupid in, you know, 6 months to a year.
Yeah. So I think
the movie makers just gotten smarter about it.
Right, right. So when Spielberg did the it's a Unix system thing in Jurassic Park, that was a different time and place. I think if you made Jurassic Park now. We all just groaned. I mean, I remember just in the theater going, oh, we're going to do this?
Yeah, no.
It was only 93, for heaven's sakes. I hadn't even had a kid yet. I was still like young guy at the theater with my fresh new wife watching movies, and I was still pissed. I didn't even know how Unix worked. I just knew it didn't work like that, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
If Unix worked like that, I would be all about the Unix system.
You'd be all over Unix.
Yeah.
Okay. So tropes, Randy. You want to throw a trope out? What do you got?
Let's start with the biggest trope in the movie. Here you are. You're some hotshot and really into something very, very unusual. You're into skydiving or you're into ice sculpting, and you get thrown into a brand new environment for the very first time. And what do you find? People who are completely into that thing. They're super skydivers. They're super ice sculptors. And by the way, those are the only people you meet at that high school. You don't even come across someone who's not into your crazy thing.
Yep. I remember when the rain was going off in the school or whatever, he'd hacked the sprinkler system and everybody's running around getting all wet. And I kept thinking, everyone else is dressed bland and dumb and plain and they're just drones. And the only people that matter is anybody with like weird red pants. Yep. Mm-hmm. And suspenders hanging off the edge of their whatevers and bleached hair and giant lips.
Right. And the guy and the sprinklers are all going off and the guy holding the umbrella isn't your first suspect. What?
Oh, a guy who's going to go bald in a couple of years. I think it was him.
Oh, poor guy. He really did.
But how many movies have we seen with that in it? That trope of
all the time.
All of them.
Of all of a sudden there's this underground of people who are into this one thing that your hero is.
And we haven't even seen Point Break yet.
Right.
You know what? That was the first thing I thought about when you said that.
It's like Drop Zone. Kind of like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
All these enthusiast skydivers that nobody knows about that are doing secret
missions. I will guarantee you there is a super ice sculptors movie somewhere.
Oh, dude. That'd be great.
I want to use one of my super tropes.
Whoa, hold on.
Ooh.
What's the super trope? I forgot how we did it. Here, I'll do this
they're,
one.
They're Breakfast in America.
Chit-gratifter. Awesome.
There, what's that?
If I hear this line in one more movie, even this 1995, this line, he's either very smart or very stupid. Mm. I mean, that line has been in every movie ever made.
It's a little overused.
That and I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Was Star Wars the first, or did they take that from somebody else?
I will bet you I've got a bad feeling about this. Goes back 100 years.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's been in other movies.
But
I'll
but
you
as
could find that in Shakespeare.
Because it's in everything now, even now.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I don't know. Obviously, they pushed it.
And then what else was in Star Wars that's in everything? We got company.
Oh, yeah, that one's good.
Oh, my gosh.
We should do Star Wars.
Yeah, right. Why don't we even talk about this stupid movie? We should be doing
Star Wars.
We should
totally do Star Wars.
We should do one of the prequels, I think.
Check this out. Some trivia. The computer they break into is a fictional mainframe computer called the Gibson.
Yeah.
I'm glad they told me it was fictional. Yeah. an homage to cyberpunk author William Gibson, apparently. That's what they say in the trivia, but who knows? The Gibson.
Well, if you can score a Gibson.
Did you score a Gibson? Yeah. Gibson has a keyboard with holes in it, or whatever that was. Johnny Lee Miller and Angelina Jolie were married shortly after making the film, and then they were divorced 4 years later, but they were separated after 18 months. The game being played, all right, I told you guys about that. Oh, yeah, high-end CGI server, SGI server. That's what those things were called. Remember those? SGIs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's how you do, like, render. Like back in the day, a render farm was a bunch of SGI servers.
That's right.
Let's see. The hacking sequences, the scenes where you see the inside of a computer are mostly motion-controlled models because the director thought that the actual computer graphics they had at the time would look too artificial. I actually think it was a good choice. It's still a dumb representation, but it's a cool choice
to make. It looks good. It still pisses me off in every hacker movie, any movie for that matter, that has to do with computers. Anyone that is hacking always is hacking on a graphical interface.
Yeah,
and hacking away at a keyboard, and they can't see any text. I'm like,
right, and it looks like a three dimensional cube that's getting rotated around.
It's rotating around.
Yeah. I'm like, except for sneakers. Right. Sneakers is command line, baby. Right to the freaking
that's
root.
The they're using what you're supposed to do it.
Using
I've got a trope.
Oh,
love it in movies when they show people using a computer and that shows their faces and the image on the computer is projected onto their faces.
Mm-hmm. That's a Never hell of a reflection, dude.
Isn't it, though?
That's awesome.
They need to use some Clearasil and get the oil off their face.
I forgot about that. That was a scene where Johnny Lee Miller was talking to fake Indian
Angelina
guy.
Jolie.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think it was, the two of them were working on her computer in her room or something, and it was being projected onto their faces.
Oh, speaking of which.
They weren't working on his computer, her computer. He had freaking went over her computer and was hacking on it. I'm like, dude, you do not hack another hacker's computer.
Did you? Yeah. Well, can you guys, so let's talk about their little dreamy things first for a second, or just for a second I want to talk about it.
Sure, it was our glimpse of boobies.
Yeah, we got a little boobie glimpse. And it was interesting to me. I mean, the movie stayed PG-13, but there was just this flash of like, and again, she could have been wearing like a flesh-colored shirt with a couple of pepperoni things on it.
Some Olivia Wilde fake nipples.
It was fast.
Exactly, but it was so fast and so fleeting. But my point is that when they had these dreams, or also he had that thing where he'd warm up for a good hack. So he'd sit there and close his eyes and he'd see like lions killing stuff. And
right.
I'm still kind of trying to, I guess the question I'm asking you guys was, I was supposed to read more into that. Was that supposed to mean something?
It was supposed to be part of that MTV generation kind of thing they were doing. And it was supposed to represent, but they only used it for like the first 30 minutes of the movie and they cut it out. I hate when movies are inconsistent like that. But yeah, at the beginning, it was kind of like this subtext of how he thought and what was in his mind, the reason why he was different than everybody else and able to hack and was able to see it in a certain way.
Yeah.
But it was lame. He was very visual, in other words.
Yeah. Which is fine, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It didn't play well in the movie.
When it played the music, I was happy. Yes, Randy.
Exactly.
Can I reset on something Brian Ibbett just slid in?
Yes, please.
The Olivia Wilde fake nipples, is that that's a thing from The Change-Up?
No, from the new...
Yeah, have you not heard about that?
No.
New movie where she's naked, she's topless, but she's got fake nipples on, so it's okay.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, like the girl at the Comic-Con girl.
like the Khaleesi from Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I knew you weren't talking about cowboys and aliens, and I just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. No, in the I don't know if you still have that, but that is the worst thing ever. There's this girl who's dressed up like the Khaleesi queen, freaking whatever from Game of Thrones, and she's got a little dragon on her hoo-ha and a dragon on her shoulder. Spoilers, this happens in the show, and she's walking around that thing, and she's completely buck naked except for two fake nipples, just big enough to cover the actual ones, and that's fine for Comic-Con. Welcome to the, because they're always going, hey, we're a family friendly event. Don't bring your nasty costumes in here, and she just comes waltzing in, and nobody's got a problem with it. It's really weird. I have a problem with it. She was gross.
Yes.
I'm not making that up. All right. Let's see what else. Oh, I thought they were a little rough on the kid at the beginning. Like, if we really had a sub 18-year-old kid who got in trouble for hacking, would it be quite that bad? Like that?
Not even. I mean,
media circus and all that.
Dude, no, totally not. I mean, it was. I accepted it because it was so early in the movie, but no way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My wife.
Even if somebody hacked now, we wouldn't do that.
My wife walked by the screen as I was watching it. She goes, "Hey, that's Eli Stone."
Yeah, did she really?
And I said, "Yeah." Her and the girls got really into that show. Hmm. It's canceled now, but it was like
we watched the first season of it.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
I liked it.
It's like
it got a little too repetitive, a little too Ally McBeal, I think, for my taste.
Not enough Quantum Leap.
Oh yeah, too Natasha. Much. Yeah. Henstridge.
Oh, dude, she's the species.
She is the species.
She doesn't bother with fake nipples.
No.
Have we seen?
Why? Why would you?
We saw a Species movie, didn't we? Four.
We did.
Yes.
Was it four?
Yeah.
I thought it was three or two.
It was three. It wasn't two because Henstridge was nowhere near that thing. Mm. It was some other.
Yeah, three. I think it was
some other hottie.
I got another trope. And I think this trope has come up before in a previous film, but so there's no better way to prevent one disaster, in this case, some oil tanker spills, than by creating another disaster, i.e. changing all the stoplights to go crazy so that people crash into each other.
Yeah, that's okay.
The streets of New York.
Did you know that you can just make boats roll over? I'm amazed what you can do on the internet in 1994.
We will capsize the ships. That guy's voice, that stupid Russian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so this guy had to find an actor, right?
And he's in that spread eagle Da Vinci picture thing that we sent out on the.
Oh, yeah.
The
lawnmower man.
There's a word for all this. I don't know the name of that thing, but it's in that. Isn't it in the Explorer or the Voyager satellite thing that we sent out?
Oh,
there's that picture of that dude with his doodle hanging out. And so they remade that guy, gave him a terrible Russian accent. And apparently, again, how you know it's a virus is because graphically it comes all up in screen with video of a guy going, VR's freaking frack-a-frack.
Yep. I am the virus. I have a face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically what he did.
Are we going to talk at all about the Asian hack twins, the Wonder
Razor
twins?
And Blade?
Please,
oh, that's
dude.
That's my trope. Give me a trope for that.
Wait. Go.
There's technology. Your cast aren't any Asians. We need Asians.
Yep.
There's
not
technology.
Just any Asians. Yeah. We need Asians. Geisha Asians.
The Yin Yang twins are in a lot of movies. This is not the only movie with the Yin Yang twins. This may be the best ever appearance of the Yin Yang twins.
One of those guys went on to do a bunch of good stuff. The other guy's like hardly seen anymore. But
yeah, it's like Millie Vanilli.
Razor and Blade were their names.
Yeah.
And they were dumb. I agree
with that. And by the way, if you haven't seen this movie, you're about to watch it, take notice of the parts of the two principals' nicknames as well. They're going to come around at the end.
Oh.
Oh, it was so clever.
And the bit with the light, with the street, with those building hack and everything, all that.
Wouldn't you hate to have been in one of those rooms? What the hell?
Yeah.
Why does the light keep coming on and off?
These kids were really, they were like lawnmower men, is what this movie reminded me of. Everybody had that kind of power.
Yeah,
but that reminds me of what Ibbot was saying. I would hate to be a person in those buildings with the lights coming on and off like that, freaking your butt out. You know, you're in there working a little late. They think it's all clever and funny. You're getting freaked out.
Yeah.
You know,
they actually could have had one of the Asian guys hook up with Angelina Jolie, and then the buildings would have said Razor Burn.
Oh, did you save that or did you just get that?
I just got that, actually.
That's pretty good. That's what he does. Remember your awesome. Fake and bacon or whatever it was called at the Nerdtacular. What did you say? But we were talking about Kevin Bacon's wiener and you said something bacon. Artificial bacon.
Artificial bacon or imitation bacon.
Imitation bacon, that was it.
Imitation bacon.
All right, here's a sound we're going to make for Weird Cameo. Weird Cameo today was Penn Jillette as the whatever he was doing. What was he? He looked like a
security guard.
He looked like a security guard or a he looked like a, what's it called? What's it called? The guy's a janitor. He looked like a damn janitor.
He looked like, yeah. No, there's something else he looked like.
Maitre d'.
Maitre d'. He looked like the elevator man. I don't know. He looked like the doorman.
I could see that. Yeah, the doorman. Yeah,
right.
I guess he kind of is because, you know, he's kind of watching over the computer. He's kind of the doorman. Yeah. So that's
but he doesn't know anything about it. It's so weird.
He knows enough to go bitch about it.
Right, but every line he delivers is one of stating that he doesn't know what the hell's going on or what to do.
Yeah. Hey guys, did we mention this episode is brought to you today by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audio entertainment. All the best stuff played back on your personal computers, CDs, iPods, and all that kind of stuff. Listen to it whenever and whenever you like, just like the podcast you're listening to right now. Audible's got 85,000 titles to choose from, every genre. Audiobooks of your favorite bestsellers are here, stuff that goes on to become major motion pictures, such as, for example, Catherine Stockett's novel, The Help, coming to theaters August 10th this year. It's like right around the corner. Check out this special offer. This is pretty rad. Get two free tickets to see The Help coming to theaters August 10th when you purchase the audiobook or an audible.com discount gold membership today only through our special link. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. You guys should do this now. Let me repeat that. audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Get free tickets to see The Help by doing that simple thing. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack right now. Yeah. These were Penn Jillette skinny days before we realized, like back then you'd look at him and go, oh, Penn Jillette's kind of a big guy. But now that was a twig version of him. Little tiny Penn Jillette.
He's a big dude all over.
Teller was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Look at that pooper.
all right.
What the? That's the worst line in the movie.
Yeah. No, it's not. That's the best line in the movie.
This is another trope I like. In movies where it's about technology computers, everybody who's really into them and good at hacking them, like these kids, they all are stoned on it.
Oh, totally.
They're treating it like drugs. Like it isn't just, I'm good at computers and here's some regular drugs. It's like, I'm good at computers and they are my drugs.
Lillard always looks like he is stoned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch his job. Right?
I bet he is, actually.
Maybe. I mean, you know, he's like 40 now, Matthew.
Yeah, and he doesn't, the dude doesn't age. I will say this for the guy. I mean, looking at him in this movie and then looking at his more recent stuff in the Scream series, it's like, wow, the guy looks the same age.
Hey, Scoob. You know, I know this is not really a trope, but I just want to talk about just for a second. Diddly.
That's things that aren't quite tropes, but sort of like tropes.
Yeah. how much we used to fit on a floppy diskette. It was just amazing.
Yeah, dude.
Because somebody could put the Secrets of the Universe in the garbage, you know, all the little formulas that were flying around.
Yeah.
And apparently it flips on a Mac floppy, a little diskette. A single density, too, not a double density.
Density, or what, 320K, 360K, something like that?
Yeah.
720K was double.
This is the HD.
Oh, 1.4 meg, you're right, were the double density ones.
Yeah.
So all those things floating, coming towards him in the screen must have been in Flash and not QuickTime, because fit on a floppy disk.
No way.
Definitely.
Even then, I don't think it would. But yeah, you're right. And when he's, there's so many things I could say about the floppy.
I mean, and isn't that what Will Smith put on the virus? And how he put it in? Didn't he insert a floppy disk? Or, he uploaded it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that wasn't Will Smith, that was...
we're talking Independence
Day. Day is what I was talking about.
So what's his name? Big tall guy.
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that's right. He actually did it. Right.
He shoved it right up the butt of the alien.
Right.
After
the cancel button.
Yeah, but after Randy Quaid flew it up there.
Yeah, that's right.
That movie sucks.
He had to get the shields down so that the other guys could get in there and stick the virus in.
That movie sucks.
Can we tell you guys how good Falling Skies is?
I haven't watched it yet. Hush.
I hear it's awesome. I hear it's really good.
I know it's no excuse.
It's very Walking Dead-esque.
Just talking about
Independence Day makes me think of how good Falling Skies is.
Dude, cable dramas, that's where it's at. Mm-hmm. Everything else sucks. All right. What else? Oh, I know. One of these. We haven't done one of these in a while. Hold on. Where is it?
Yeah.
Couple of big montages, yeah?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. My favorite part of the whole movie was a montage.
Was that the contest?
Or no, it was the spinning phone booths.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yeah. That's what hackers do. They go take over phone booths in some mall where nobody needs the phone.
And then they spin around in this open world spinning thing that I can't comprehend since they're all like right next to each other. I really took me out of the movie.
Did you like how they all had their own little login screens and stuff? They had the little
logos. I did. That was actually really kind of cool.
I like that.
I mean, because sneakers kind of had that.
Believable parts of it, because if you're a hacker, you're going to have your own login screen for sure.
Yeah, like little avatars and, you know.
Yeah. I hacked my Apple login screen when I was figuring out how to get into ResEdit and stuff.
Well, I mean, that was all part of the whole movie was, you know, getting your rep on. You had to be reputable, had to have a name.
So I'm pitching, close your eyes, you can see Ibbot doing this. Close your eyes and picture him spinning around, hacking into ResEdit. I love it.
Mortal Kombat.
Music's great. Freaking love that soundtrack. All right, so yeah, there were a couple of those, and that was fun to watch. Razor and Blade, we talked about them. Let's see here. Oh! Yeah, I wondered if this is a total side note, but I wonder if the movie had to pay rights to Children's Workshop or whatever the hell they're called for the use of Cookie Monster and the virus.
Oh,
surely they do.
And
do
Pac-Man?
Do they have to do that?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't see Pac-Man. Did I miss that?
You don't remember Pac-Man coming up?
Well, I saw Cookie Monster was like Pac-Man. He was eating like that and the rabbit and stuff, but I never saw actual Pac-Man.
It was Cookie Monster first, and then it was Pac-Man, right? That's what I thought I saw.
Oh.
At the
I
end.
I don't remember Pac-Man.
Well, maybe I was wrong.
Because that Namco Bandai money is big.
Yeah, it is.
You don't want to pay him for that. You want to do a fake Cookie Monster.
Maybe they had cut scenes with Pac-Man. They realized it was going to be too expensive, and they cut back to Cookie Monster.
But do you really think – I mean, okay, so this comes up on the show all the time. Like, when did movies start going, hey, we could get money for having our products in here? Do you feel like this is well into that, right, Randy? Because like you're the one that agreed right away.
Yes.
There was a lot of Coke, too. That's true.
I would say the big turning point was Jurassic Park, which predates this.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. A couple of years.
And that product advertisement was Mentos.
What? No, it wasn't. Was it? Oh, yeah, they did have Mentos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right.
It was the shaving cream that Newman. Cream.
Well, no. Newman. I don't remember which the soft drink was, but there was a soft drink all over Jurassic Park with the label turned toward the camera, and every time it was shot.
Well, this was so Coke. It even had like the 1 liters, which you didn't see for a real long time.
We got Johnson here. Johnson
got Johnson.
I love that movie. Okay, what else? It's the Gibson. Oh, the cop night. Do you guys like how the cops showed up? So spinning phone booths, right? Show up right as they finish. Like
always.
That's a trope, and I get it. It's not even worth playing the damn file for because it's such
mad Johnson smash.
But you know, like really, these kids are there all day using up facilities. Nobody's noticed. All you smart hackery types with your fancy hologram building, you can't tell where they are down at the local whatever the hell that was. Come on,
they were in a subway, weren't they? Were they at the mall?
No, it was you said a mall earlier. It was something like that. Like a,
I thought it was like an underground mall. We have like an underground mall here in Atlanta.
You do?
And and I wonder if it was something like that.
What's that?
But it was in New York.
What is an underground mall like? I can't picture that.
Oh, is this where they used to have like a subway and instead they put a bunch of stores and stuff in it. So you just kind of go underground. Well,
you see cool. Movies have car chases through them all the time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Do they really? Why is this not ringing a bell?
Because you're
thing?
In Utah.
No, I mean, well, maybe. But I've seen a lot of movies, and none of that's ringing a bell.
Yeah, they have them in Houston and Minneapolis, St. Paul. Anywhere where the weather is extreme in either direction.
Oh, really?
Whatever, Eddie Vedder?
What the hell?
You caught the Eddie Vedder reference in...
totally caught the Eddie Vedder. Yeah.
I missed it. When did that happen?
Mr. Kawasaki.
So this is Eddie Vedder. He's talking from Mr.
Accounting,
Kawasaki.
From accounting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I missed that. Accounting.
My BLT drive.
I figured you. I just knew you would have capped that and play it for us.
No, I didn't get that one. I remember the BLT part. I don't remember the Eddie Vedder part. I could have.
That's the first thing you said. Hey, this is Eddie Vedder from accounting.
Well, speaking of which, I got some clips. You guys have anything else you want to add before we clippy? You good?
Everyone good? I see in Hacker Vision. That's all I can say. Go ahead.
Barbasol Jeep and Jet Cola. What's this? Jolt Cola.
Jolt Cola. That's the Jurassic Park. The Jurassic Park product placements.
Man, I totally wanted me some Jolt Cola after that.
Dude, I have one of those Barbasol cans that you can unscrew and hide stuff in. I do.
Oh, really?
I literally have one. Yeah, I didn't get it from. It's not tied into that movie, but they make them at this like spy place where you can buy the stupid.
Well, now
everybody
knows.
Well, I know
Scott.
I've decided to freak him out and keep whipped cream in there.
Hey, there's a shaving cream in this.
It tastes good. All right, let's do some clips. We got a few here, and we're going to start with, I can find it. Here we go. Dumb lawyer talk at the beginning of the movie. This is when they're sentencing that kid to life without a phone.
When Lawyer Scully was telling the kid he was going to jail for a long time.
Yep. Yeah.
What's her name?
Lorraine. Wasn't that Lorraine Brockman?
No, it's a woman who's married to William Macy, and her name is...
But she totally looked like Scully.
Is it
a very successful television actress?
Mrs. Felicity Lundegaard.
Huffman. Thank you. Yeah. Felicity Huffman.
Oh.
Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
And not, Sports Night. Woo!
Oh, Sports Night was so good. I miss that. That had Benson in it. Benson was in there.
Oh, I miss Benson. Oh, wow.
A lot of great people.
Star Trek connection.
I miss Benson. All right, here it is, her talking, blah, blah, blah.
The defendant, Dade Murphy, who calls himself Zero Cool, has repeatedly committed criminal acts of a malicious nature. This defendant possesses a superior intelligence, which he uses to a destructive and antisocial end.
Zero Cool.
Zero Cool.
That's awesome.
He's so antisocial.
Anti?
Yeah, right?
Anti.
An antisocial end. I don't even know.
And got one here. Oh, some bad mom acting. 8 seconds worth of bad mom acting. Check it out.
Upstairs.
What's going on? What's the matter? Who are you?
Come on, let's go.
Hey!
What's going on? What's the matter?
That's the mom of the kid, right?
Yeah.
God, when she first appeared on screen, I think she had a mud mask on. And the way she was acting, totally dubbed with a completely different voice than I'm sure is her own. And thought, there's no way that this woman could be this kid's mother. It's got to be an older sister or something.
Is it the one you're thinking? You're not thinking of the mom of the smoking hacker kid that had the disc in the.
Yeah, the smoking hacker kid. This one. This
no,
is
different
the Johnny
mother.
Lee Miller
mother. Yeah, this is the balding Johnny Lee Miller mother. she was
also probably not old enough to have a son as old as Johnny Lee Miller. But
she was dubbed pretty bad. That's true. And later on, I got some sweet dubbing for you guys to hear. It's so obviously dubbed. It's just ridiculous.
Huh.
I have one here called Not in Her Class. I don't remember that comment, but here it is.
Jim is through there. In the cafeteria.
Great. Cool. What's your name?
Kate Livy. Is your class?
My class? You mean I'm not in your class?
No, you're not in my class.
Oh, zing. Oh,
okay. Burn.
Oh, you, she means like he's not on her level.
Right.
I get it now.
Not even in her class. Kate Libby is in a class all by herself.
That is a burn. Mm-hmm.
Burned lips.
Gotta go back and watch this again.
Burned lips.
Burned just like her lips?
Yep. Serious, man. She kissed a curling iron or something before this movie was made.
Oh.
Look at him. Go back and look at him. And they're like big. Like they look like somebody pulled a cord because it's time to, the flood's coming. Let's get this raft going.
I am looking at Angelina Jolie's lips right now from Hackers, and I'm telling you, I'm looking at her lips.
I'm liking it.
I believe it.
Still looking.
Meet the Freak is the next clip.
So what's your interest in Kate Livy, eh? Academic, purely sexual?
Homicidal.
What's up, man? I'm the Freak. The Phantom Freak? The King of Ninex?
I got it!
I know you play the game.
Freak, do, 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 do.
Joey, one more dude at you and I'm gonna slap the shit out of you, okay? Now I try to save you from yourself, but you gotta stop letting your mama dress you, man. You hopeless. second. I need a handle, man. I mean, I don't have an identity until I have a handle.
Come up with your own damn handle.
Yeah,
you don't
right?
need,
what the hell?
Yeah, you don't need Johnny Ringo to give you a handle.
Look, all right. Corey Haim wannabe. Dude. It'll be all right.
Right.
Corey Haim wannabe.
What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
Exactly. It was exactly the same voice.
You're no longer needed here, asshole.
Oh, wrong one.
What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
There you go.
There you go.
We got another one.
Say goodnight, asshole.
I got
goodnight,
a lot of these. Asshole. I forgot how many of these we got. You top it
it's
off
on
with
the soundboard asshole page.
Top it off with this.
Slurp my butt.
There you go.
Which is butt is where you find the okay.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Meet the Freak. Page. We did that. How about Meet Serial Killer? So here is Matthew Lillard doing the thing he does.
Flying in some life story. That's my eye, man. Right? You can sit at home and do like absolutely nothing, and your name goes to like 17 computers a day. 1984. You're right, man. That's a typo. Orwell's here now. He's living large. We had no names, man. No names. We are nameless. Can you score a fry?
Meet Serial Killer. As in Fruit Loops.
Oh, Fruit Loops, not Cocoa Puffs. Yeah, Randy's right. That's mm-hmm. just way too much. It's yeah. just, blah, come on, man. Simmer down. Too much. And then this happened.
Yo, who ate all of my fries?
That's all I got there.
Who did eat all of his fries? Almost rewound it, and I was like, never, I'm like,
Lillard
I'm not
did.
Going back to look.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
it? I thought
yeah,
it was the
he
other
kept
dude.
Scoring.
I
he just said
falling out of his mouth.
Right, and in the previous clip, he said, let me score one of your fries, yo, or whatever. And he's just over there chowing down on those fries. And then by the time it got around, they're all blaming the Corey Haim kid again.
Yeah.
Poor kid. Yeah. With the dubbed mother and the floppy in your ceiling.
The dubbed mother.
Let's keep going here. Oh, I was gonna. That reminded me of something. Despite all my misgivings, I would have loved to have been a teenager and had that place to go to. That place they all hung out with the video games and the music and whatnot.
Right, the rollerblade place.
Awesome, yeah, the rollerblade entrance
place.
That's
got to be an OSHA hazard right there.
Oh, totally. There's no way they could open that place up.
Yeah, it didn't seem very realistic, but that would seem like an awesome place to be. Love to grow up there. Boy, Corey Haim would have been perfect in this film.
Perfect.
He could have been the hacker.
Totally.
Making out with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. I mean, he could have been the Dawson character easily.
Yep. Here's the here's the virus. The Russian virus or whatever the hell it is.
Excuse me.
Oh, no. It's different.
The little boat flipped over. A virus planted within the Gibson computer system claimed responsibility.
What? It left a note?
No better. A video game.
Unless $5 million are transferred to the following numbered account in 7 days, I will capsize 5 tankers in the Anderson fleet.
That is the virus. Leonardo da Vinci. The problem is we have 26 ships at sea and we don't know which ones are infected.
It's the Father Guido Sarducci virus.
Totally.
Let's give it the worst Italian accent we can come up with. 5 tankers.
If I have a tanker, it's out in the ocean.
Hold on a second. That's so stupid. All right. I have to
oh, my God. Scott's got the giggles.
Scott.
Scott's got the giggles.
All right.
Dude, that is so funny. Nice.
That is so stupid.
I have never heard Scott get the giggles in my life.
No.
It only happens once in a while. Whew. Guido Sarducci voice. That's so dumb. All right. Bad acting and dubbing. So here's I don't remember. Oh, this is their conversation as they're, I don't remember what they were doing. They're just walking around talking about, oh no, the kid's in. They've seen the thing. I made up the virus, blah, blah, blah. Here's what he says.
What the hell was that all about?
I had to move fast. The hacker copied my garbage file.
What?
I created Mr. Da Vinci so we could call in the Secret Service. So they'd arrest the hacker, seize his equipment, things that we can't do on our own.
I don't want to go to jail for this.
Relax.
I recorded this 4 days later.
$25 million.
But you've created a virus that's going to cause a worldwide ecological disaster just to arrest some hacker kid?
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus, you know you're sick, Eugene.
And this is them walking around a huge, crowded, like, building with, like, escalators. Mm-hmm. Escalator? Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't sound right for some reason.
That's a, that's, know, a proper, like, term. The moving steps. Yeah, that's escalator.
All right.
Yeah. I like Lorraine Bracco, but, man, you know, her delivery is always the same. It was the same in Sopranos. And for whatever reason, it's just... Maybe it's more believable in there, but it's kind of this slow, I hope I remember my line.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have to say ecological disaster.
Yeah. Did you get her at the end with the sound clip where she's like parroting everything they're are talking about when they're trying to stop the hacking?
I don't think so. Oh, maybe.
God,
if you didn't, I'd like to talk about it, but if you got it, we can definitely
If I'm, we'll get through these, and if you don't hear it, we'll do it. I'm seriously worn out from that stupid Russian voice that really made my eyes hurt.
Yeah.
New notebook. Oh, yeah. This is him freaking out about our new notebook and acting like it's all that. And it's just so stupid in retrospect, but check it out.
Yo, check this out, guy. This is insanely great. It's got a 28.8 BPS modem.
Yeah? Display?
Active matrix, man. A million psychedelic colors. Man, baby, sweet.
I want it.
I want it to have my children, man. Yeah, I bet it looks crispy in the dark.
I bet it looks crispy in the dark.
Yeah, not crisp.
Wow.
Not crisp.
Yeah,
it's been fried when you turn the lights off.
They are so excited about that piece of crap notebook.
Awesome is they're so excited about that piece of crap notebook. They turn off the lights and people spill into the room to have sex and don't notice.
Yep. There's four guys in the corner with an active matrix screen with a million psychedelic colors and they can't tell. Way
that
to go.
Awesome.
Big with look. A screen of like, it's like a 9-inch screen too, man. It's like terrible.
Oh, you know what? We've just discovered another trope. So anytime in these movies where it's like this in the vampire movie with Kiefer
Sutherland.
That guy. where when the girl... He's looking at the girl and he's kind of got a thing for the girl, but it turns out the girl's got a bad boyfriend. And now it's just a matter of time before that guy is killed, lost, ruined, removed. Yeah.
Turns out he's also a super genius and needs to take revenge on people.
And they just let him go.
All he really does all day is just look good.
Look good? I don't remember.
I don't know. That's what they said in the movie.
You went.
So what's he do?
When you saw
he said, what's he do? That's it. He just looks slick all day.
That's
what he does.
More bad tech talk. There's a little more of that right after that.
Has a killer refresh rate.
P6 chip. Ooh. Triple the speed of the Pentium.
Yeah.
The Pentium
what? Just the chip. It has a PCI bus.
What?
You knew that.
You knew that, though.
RISC architecture is going to change everything.
It will.
RISC is good.
Our phones.
What's a P6? There was no P6.
Remember the P6?
From who?
It's a P6, baby.
There's no P6.
You don't remember the P6?
That's a made-up chip, and P6 based on RISC architecture.
Oh, you don't remember that? Oh, man, you're so lame.
The RISC-based stuff was like the PowerPC stuff, right? Am I wrong about that?
Oh, well, there were tons of processors that went with RISC. There were tons. Yeah. There were AMD had a proc, and
you don't remember it introduced the P6 microarchitecture, sometimes referred as the I-686.
No,
and originally was the microops or RISC like. You don't remember that?
No,
was the P6 though. You don't remember the P6s though? Seriously, there was.
I don't. There was really a P6. I don't remember it.
Yeah, you don't remember that? Yeah.
All right.
It's just weird to shoehorn that into her lines.
I'm a fly.
RISC
like
architecture is
going
to change everything.
Yeah, I know. That's really weird.
Yeah, because you know. By 1994, RISC hadn't been around for 20 years.
Yeah. They get very Scooby-Doo in parts where the girl will suddenly just start getting real smart and going, instead of being all, get away from me. I'll, you know, don't even look at me or I'll kill you kind of stuff to, that's a RISC-based processor. That's how they're getting into the main system. If they turn over those ships, you know, it's just they turn into Velma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of
this was
hot.
I'm doing a little more reading. I remember the P6, but it was released in November 1995. So yeah, it would have been cutting edge at that point.
Are you sure?
But that's the point.
A P6 CPU.
Yeah.
You're making this up. Hold on.
It uses a basic P6 core processor, the Pentium Pro, man.
P6 Intel AX86 micro architecture. Well, then
this
they
is
lied.
The podcast where we Google things live.
But that wasn't that wasn't RISC is my problem. That's just something based on a Pentium Pro. Oh, this is dumb. Sorry. Yes, you're right. There's a P6. But that's nothing to get excited about, Angelina Big Lips Jolie. Hacked phone. Oh, this is good. I like this bit. It's another montage part of a montage.
I know where you can stick it. I know where you can stick it.
I just want to lick your earlobes. I'm going to lick your lips. Oh, I'm gonna lick your toes.
Oh, yeah. You're going to lick?
And then I'm going to
You want to lick something? Lick
ankles.
This.
That's why they call me Stag.
Oh, that's disgusting.
My heart is steaming for you. It's steaming. I'm trying to spank you with my
hand. Oh, spank your ass.
Turn you over and make you
Dude.
What the hell?
So that was to simulate him getting all these calls from a personal ad that the hackers placed from. Well, what cutting edge hacking technology. They placed a personal ad.
It's impressive.
But the fact that... So he's going from line to line, hold button to hold button, and these people are in the middle of sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was totally
like they've been talking to themselves just waiting for him to get on the line.
Yeah. That's hacking at the highest level, Brian.
But you know, I mean, if that movie had been today, I mean, we don't think of 1995 as that long ago, but it was a lot. This movie was a lot more tight.
No.
Tight as far as is not using a lot of bad language.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they were more tight and restricted. I was trying to say more tight and restricted on what they would say, because if this was a movie today, I mean, they would say all kinds of crazy, pornographic, nasty things. This is before the internet corrupted us all. And and now we all know what stuff is. You know what I mean? We all.
Right, can I have a late last trope?
Yes.
Your weird activity, skydiving, ice sculpting,
always
results in the two principals having some kind of friendly competition.
Yeah,
among between them, each other, in order to prove who's the best skydiver.
And one of the sidekicks always keeps score. Always.
and the score in this one was totally arbitrary. It's just like, we're just going to decide. We'll just tell you who won.
It's later. 60-60. Oh, okay. I assume that was 60 hacks. That's all I could think of.
No idea.
60 hacks.
Dumb.
Score.
Final clip. It speaks for itself.
We have massive infection, multiple GPI and FSI viruses.
You're coming in from remote nodes.
They're going for the colonel.
Colonel who?
The system command processor. It's the brain.
Cancer, brain cancer.
Alfred, what's going on?
In short, Duke, a shitstorm.
Terrible. There's your PG-13 right there.
That's awesome.
And the S word was the only word they used, really, in this movie. And they used it a ton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more than you would think. I kept waiting for one F bomb because with the Angelina Jolie peppermint pepperoni 90s, thing,
and there was an F bomb in this movie.
There was. I missed it.
Yeah. She got this kind of halfway said it. They didn't go.
Who said it?
All
was
F
it her?
Out. They didn't go F all out, but she kind of.
Who said it though? Who I don't remember this.
I thought there was an FU out of the main guy at one point.
Was there? I don't think so. I think Angelina said something with it, if I remember correctly. Because I remember she was right on the precipice of saying it. I was like, she's going to say it.
It's the 1990s regulated one F-bomb that you could have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those were good times.
Totally.
That's it for clips. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for awards. Let's do some awards here. For the film Hackers, it wins the following awards, which I... suddenly lost. Why? Here we go. I bet if I was 15, I would really like this movie award, because I know I would. If I was 15 years old, this would be the greatest thing I ever saw.
Yeah.
The Angelina is just paying the bills award. She was new, whatever. She was new. This was before her Girl Interrupted movie, right? Wasn't it well before that?
Yes, has to be.
Well.
Yeah. The shortest flash of someone's nipple award and still keep a PG-13 rating is this movie. The how to take pictures on your shoulder with an SLR and not get noticed award. You see that guy at the park? Going,
that was awesome.
It's like he was holding a little bird there. That was great. The Star Trek award goes to, thanks to Daryl the Trek nerd for this, Ralph Winter, big-time Hollywood producer. Not only was he the producer for Hackers, but for the following Trek films. Star Trek True the Wrath of Khan. Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home. Scott does. Scott's trying to do Roman numerals here, folks.
That's funny.
He was an executive producer on Star Trek 5, The Final Frontier, or I like to call it, the one where Spock took a horse down with the Vulcan neck pitch. And then finally,
all of that.
The Undiscovered Country, he was also a producer. He was also a producer of all four X-Men films. Were there four?
Yes.
Oh, no.
X-Men First Class.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, they're counting Wolverine. Yeah,
Wolverine. Origins. That's what I was saying, Wolverine.
They all star Patrick Stewart and Famke Janssen, more Trek connections. So there's a bunch of that connected stuff. He was also the executive producer for Tim Burton's 2000 remake of Planet of the Apes. And there's a bunch of people in that who are in Trek movies, including David Warner. So there's all kinds of connections with this one. He also produced William Shatner's Shoot or Be Shot and LeVar Burton's Blizzard. Ooh. So deeply, deeply steeped in Trek. And then finally, my sound grade track, or my soundtrack grade. Sorry.
I like what you
have. I have not recovered since the freaking Sarducci virus.
What is Scott drinking?
A for awesome. No. I freaking love the soundtrack in this film.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Yeah. It's my favorite we've had maybe in a movie ever. And I realize it's very genre specific, but man.
It was good.
Out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, the song called, let's see. Called me pull this
I was
up.
I was hoping you'd cap some of that dance club music late in the movie.
Oh, there's some good ones in there, dude. Like this one here. Let's see, let me just pull out a little bit. This stuff, man.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, I just love it. Just listen to it all day.
Stereo MCs with
way ahead of the time.
Stereo MCs, and they're right there singing in the club.
Yep. There's a bunch. Oh, was that them?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Who were the rapper guys? Was that them?
That was them.
Oh. The Stereo MCs. What are we talking about?
Well, the hold on a second. Was that Joker? No. No, that's not it. Not that. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's boring. But yeah, you're right. It was Stereo MCs. Mm-hmm. Check me out, man.
Right. Gonna get myself connected.
this is like a huge disparity of good music versus bad movie, like the Predator 2, you know? It's
sort of
disparity. It's not like Tron Legacy was a mediocre movie with a fantastic soundtrack, but it wasn't like a bad movie.
Right. That's good. Yes. I could not say that better myself. Let's get to a Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less each.
Left.
You know, left. 140 characters or left. I can't do anything.
Did you know that we record this show at 2 a.m.? Scott's been up for 20 hours.
I'm seriously on the... I don't know if you guys ever have experienced this before. If you ever have experienced this before, I can't even talk. When something makes you giggle and lose it, I'm always on the edge of if I think about it again, I'm going to lose it again. Like, just thinking about that stupid voice... is seriously making me want to do it. I'm trying hard not to, and as a result, all my motor functions are impaired. All right.
Yeah, see, that's why you have to give in to the giggle fit, let it run its course.
Yeah, I stopped it prematurely there, yeah.
Yes, yes, you premature giggle.
Now I'm going to get some backup.
It's like half a poo.
And you do not want that.
Yeah, backup.
Half a poo. Okay, 140 characters or less. That's what you guys do. You sum it right up. Randy, let's start with you. Randy, how is your Twitter post going to sound on this movie?
Hackers! Angelina Jolie, back when she took methadone every day, slightly spruces up this otherwise pedestrian Penn Jillette vehicle about skydivers. I mean, it's like that. You know what I mean.
The Penn Jillette movie. This new Penn Jillette vehicle we watched. Brian Dunaway, what do you got?
Hackers, don't be confused. This movie starts with two slow-mo scenes, however, is not an art film. But check it. Rollerblades. Nothing says hacker like rollerblades. Randy thinks her name is Jolly.
You really do write these as the show goes on, don't you? Mm-hmm. I love that.
Also, worst skeleton porn ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Right. What was that about? That was weird.
I don't know. It was terrible, though.
I want that version of Wipeout where the scores smush each other when they
get a better score. Bam, bam.
That was pretty rad. And then finally, Brian Ebbett, what do you got?
Hackers, a movie about a group of underground computer freaks who wage war against the government agency that wants to break them down. The movie has a couple of flaws. For example, if this movie included Twitter, people's messages would be limited to 200 characters, would be in 3D, and would include unicorns, blueberry pie, and pogs.
Yes! Nice. Did you write that as
good
we went
job.
Along?
Very meta.
Yeah, I wrote that as we went.
Good Lord. You guys are talented.
By the way, anybody who has ever gone to YouTube and watched the video Big Ass Titties would know why I say Angelina Jolly.
Wow.
Seriously, go to YouTube, Google search Angelina Jolie, Lindsay Lohan, Mariah Carey, Big Ass Titties. That is a famous and very, very funny
song. Freestyle rap song.
All right. I'll check it out.
No.
Probably not, but maybe. Well, here's what I learned while you slobbered over an Active Matrix screen like it was the greatest thing in the history of tech.
Stop sending me the link, Randy. I'm not looking at it.
Big ass, Brian.
There it is. There's the link.
You can hack way better in sunglasses.
Totally. I thought that was just insane. Who does that?
Cash Override is a stupid name.
Cash Override.
Or Crash, that's, not Cash. Sorry.
I'm about to say that's not right. It is a stupid name because that's not right.
Because that's not right. Right. Next time I take a shower, make sure you remind me to wear baggies on my headphones.
That's a pretty smart idea.
Yeah, whatever.
That was horrible. It was the stupidest thing ever.
It was a stupid idea. Playing quick draw with 3.5-inch floppies is dumb.
And then you do the whole, you talking to me like your taxi driver or something. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Dumb.
I loved it.
Dumb. And then finally, you can't be a hacker unless you learn how to rollerblade. And that's what I learned. Mm-hmm. Well, you looked at that dumb notebook. Let's get to some emails. Got one here from Ralph Schraber. Schraber? Not sure how to say
that. Or as Randy calls him, Ralph Jolly.
Jolly. Hey, guys. Love it. Keep it up. Hackers is going to be epic. I hate that movie, he says. Okay. My least favorite episodes of Star Trek Next Generation by far is Sub Rosa. Dr. Crusher for the whole episode. Blech.
That has been in the thread on the forums. Once again, filmsack.com, hit the forums button, go to the thread about cheesy worst Star Trek episodes. Sub Rosa has been mentioned more than any other episode.
Speaking of Star Trek, my gosh, your response, listeners, was overwhelmingly positive about the commentary track we did for that episode. And we will, as a result, be doing more. We're not going to kill you with them every week, but we'll do them here and there because apparently we touched a nerve and we got almost unanimous good feelings about that. We got one. I've only got one email out of dozens of other positive ones. One email where the guy was like, "I don't know, this is a good idea for you guys." So to him, I would say, "Well, enjoy this one because this one's normal." He goes on to say, "I'd like to see you guys critique 48 Hours, Goonies, Legend, and Teen Wolf." And then finally, my favorite part of your show is the way you guys point out things that are good about the movies. Above all else, that is the most unique thing your show does. I would like to see you guys critique 48 Hours, Goonies, Legend, and Teen Wolf, he says again. Thanks, nice. Ralph Schraber.
All of those are good suggestions.
I'm down with that. Yeah, totally.
And he said them twice, which I think is somehow mentally conditioning us to actually want to see them. I don't know. And then finally, an email from John Wilson, customer care technical specialist. Hey, guys, I'm listening to the show and wanted to comment on the transporter question, which was best, meaning which was the best teleporter effect in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. All this Star Trek feedback, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It says, I think that the Ansata Separatist Rebels have the best teleporter effect in Season 3, Episode 12. Star Trek episodes on FilmSack are awesome. Yes.
Yeah. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one. But I stand by Tosk, though.
Oh,
In that one episode in Deep Space Nine. I don't remember what it's called. I think it's called the Hunt I don't know what it's called.
But you stand by Tosk.
Tosk and the guys that are hunting him have the most badass transport. And he dude just transports all over the place, too. So you get to see that effect a lot.
Remind me who Tosk is. Should I know that character?
it's a famous episode because they like to show it in some kind of class in college. I don't remember, psychology class.
Really? They show an episode of Deep Space Nine in college. Weird.
Maybe in logic. When you take logic, they like to watch that episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a little blown away by this
information. Also known as the nerd class.
Nerd class.
it's called Captive Pursuit. Yes, Captive Pursuit.
Okay.
It's called You're Not Getting Laid. also there's a pool in the roof, Olympic size.
Right. Don't let that door shut behind you. All right, I'm going to actually watch that, though, because, I don't have Deep Space Nine anyway. They need to get that on Netflix, is all I'm saying. I would love to catch up on DS9.
Oh, yeah, me too.
They're
planning it, right?
Yeah, I assume so. I don't know why they couldn't. It's the same deal. They'd have to strike with Paramount and just do it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Scott Fletcher has quotes for us. Let's check these out. These are all from the film we watched, Hackers, and here's the first one.
Never send a boy to do a woman's job.
That's good advice, generally. Here's another one.
Spandex. It's a privilege, not a right.
Look at that pooper.
Oh, yeah. He said, look at that pooper. Now I know what you're referring
right
to.
After that.
Yeah, yes. Right after that. Look at that pooper.
It's all coming back. And then
it's
finally.
It's coming back to me now.
Is this another quote? Oh, he has a blooper at the very end. So here's one more quote.
Kid, don't threaten me. There are worse things than death, and I can do all of them.
That's right. And then finally, a blooper. I like when he sends these. It's far too infrequent.
Former child prodigy, prodigy, Dade Murphy.
More of those, please. I like to hear Scott Fletcher screw up. So guess what our next movie is? Anyone know? I know.
What yes.
Know? Life Force.
Life Force.
Starring Patrick Stewart and a bunch of other people.
And a naked lady.
Really?
Lots of boobies. Oh, yeah. Really? This movie starts with Force? Naked lady.
I didn't know that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it now.
Ibbot is well pleased.
you have pronounced Angelina Jolie's name wrong?
Jolly.
Randy's going to so send me hate mail.
That's right.
I've given him such a hard time tonight.
Every week your inbox fills up. I'm excited to see Life Force. Has anyone else not seen it? I've seen it, but I don't remember a thing about it.
I saw it a couple of years ago, so it's still kind of fresh.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it either. Okay. Well, I mean, I feel
you'll be blown away.
I remember a helicopter and Patrick Stewart in the helicopter. That ends my recollection. That's all I remember
is
about it.
Bad. Really? But in a good way.
Okay. Ibbot, have you seen it?
Nope.
All right.
I've seen it.
Look at us then, starting fresh.
There are four blades.
Four blades.
Four blades. Not two.
This is exciting.
There are four lights.
You made me pull that out. I had to go find it. So Life Force on Netflix streaming now. You can go check it out. Once again, you can visit us on the website. Check out all the archives of the show and more. Leave comments, whatever you want, whatever. Links to the forums, all that. Filmsack.com. Go get us an email, filmsack@gmail.com. We might just read it on the show. We're on Twitter at Filmsack. You can leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that. Love to hear your feedback there as well. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Ultra laser?
I think everyone just waits for Brian to yelp something out every week.
Ultra laser?
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.